Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 31st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Pets and Vets today. Joining us in the studio, we have Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. If you want to get in line, do it early. Get your question in. Call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 to join the conversation. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number on this Pets and Vets edition, 800-348-2551. We'll kick it off after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon. Here to take your calls, Drs. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Saratoga, and Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Sekuli is the founder of the Just Cats Clinic, which provides specialized care for felines, as you may have guessed. A graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine, she's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets, frequently using a holistic approach. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, end-of-life care for animals, and nutrition counseling. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, welcome back to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's Pets and Vets, and you know that's a popular show, so if you were thinking about calling in, get in line now. There are a few lines open, and then once they fill up, if you hear somebody hang up, that's the time to call. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. You know, make it detailed, but not extremely long. You know, we try to get through as many as possible. So a paragraph, maybe, if you can do it. You can tweet your questions and comments, although that's tricky with the character limit, at @WAMCVoxPop. Or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. But again, the primary way to get into a call-in program is to call, and it's 800-348-2551. So let's talk about hemp. Strangely enough. All right, so what did you want to say about hemp, Dr. Sekuli?
Oh, what a good lead-off.
Yeah,
you see,
that's why I'm a semi-professional. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're talking about the chemical composition of marijuana.
Okay.
And
you had me there.
Got it.
Okay.
And there are now legally available supplements for dogs and cats that are actually produced in Colorado.
Well, there you go. Rocky Mountain High. All right.
Exactly. That are being used for the dogs and cats, and not only for just some side effects associated with, like in people, the chemotherapy effects of anti-nausea and what's the other one that's my mind just went blank.
But pain relief.
Pain. Thank you. Both. But we're also seeing that it may help with anti-cancer components itself. So these are dogs and cats that they're being put on just hemp versus just chemotherapy.
Hmm.
And so I think it's a wonderful, interesting, and a great opportunity for veterinarians to be aware of what's out there.
Now, is there any scientific study backing that up as far as just hemp as opposed to hemp and chemo? In other words,
that's what they're trying to do. The company itself actually is doing some clinical studies associated with
so
that.
So the jury is still out on that. But there is anecdotal.
But there is absolutely. And they're working with some of the veterinary colleges.
Interesting. Good. So have you tried this? Are you using this?
I mean,
not you personally, mind you, but, you know, some of your patients,
here, right?
Let's say.
I have not yet, but we just ordered it and got it into our clinic.
Interesting.
So,
very good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I do have to do a quick out to my staff at Just Cats as I left the door. Thank you so much for having me here on a consistent basis. But they all said, my wonderful staff there, said they will be watching me. So
they're going to watch you?
They're watching me.
And are the kitties listening?
They probably are too.
Meow.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. And we'll start with John in Coxsackie. John, you're on.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. 5-year-old male cat, stray, when we got him, when he was a kitten, had a deformed eye. We had to have that removed. His other eye was about 50% covered over with the white, like the white part of the eye was covering it. And, but he had good vision out of it. And then more recently, it just seems that it's expanded further across the surface of his cornea. And very worried about it. He's been to an eye specialist 4 times in 4 years, each year, from Cornell. He has another appointment in November. But it just seems that his vision is decreasing. The surface area is getting less that he can see out of. And it's, you know, and I just at the end of my rope with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sad to hear that.
He was born with a herpes virus. Yeah.
That's what I was just going to assume, that this is probably herpes related. And it is, I share your frustration and concerns. It is one of our most difficult diseases to deal with, just because the cornea is not very vascularized. So to get that virus once it finds its way to the cornea is a tough place to be. Are you adding any supplements and vitamin supplements to his diet?
Since he's a kitten, or first been seen by an ophthalmologist, been getting lysine every day.
Okay. And my suggestion might be to add more than just that. I think in our theory was, okay, let's just address it. And lysine is a supplement that interferes, or is an amino acid that interferes with the replication of the herpes virus. So that's why it's being used. But I would try to boost his immune system overall with some vitamin supplements, a better diet if you can, those kind of things. Start addressing his whole body versus just his eye.
Chris Dallas, you're nodding.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, treating the body as opposed to just focusing on the eye is really critical. I would also be considering some liver support, since in Chinese medicine, the liver governs the eyes, so he may have some liver deficiency. You could even be feeding him some liver in small amounts to address it that way, but definitely some immune support would be, you know, definitely the first place I would look. And omega-3 fatty acids for sure also as a supplement.
All right, John, we appreciate the call very much. The number is 800-348-2551. And over to Rebecca in Lake Hill, New York. Rebecca, you're on.
Okay, thank you. I have 2 Holland Lothier bunny rabbits, and they've lived outside forever. One of them was recently attacked by a Fisher cat, and he survived, but he's blind. And so we've made him the exact same hutch that he lived in outside, inside now. And I have 2 questions, but I'll be happy if you can just take one. He's doing okay in his hutch. Whenever I try and add a play area that he can go into, he completely stops using the litter box and marks everywhere. So I'm wondering, is he just happier and safer in a smaller space for now?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, he may just need some time to, you know, adjust to this new way of living. And you may start with, you know, smaller spaces, and then as he gets more confident, start to increase the, you know, amount of range that he has. Oh, I'm so sorry you went through that. When was the when did the attack happen?
About 6 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is all brand new. Yeah.
Amazing that he's alive.
Yeah, yeah. 6 weeks is really, it may take him a long time to sort of figure this out. So.
Okay.
Can I quickly try a second question?
Very quickly. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Okay. So the 2 rabbits lived together for 5 years, and now they, the one who used to be less aggressive is now aggressive towards the one who was hurt. So we've got them separate. The one who's hurt doesn't want anything to do with the other, so they're separate. Is there any hope that they might get together later, or probably not?
That may be a tough one. I think that the dynamics have changed immensely with a loss of the vision. So I wouldn't even do that initially for a long time. I agree with Dr. Dallas.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very
good
much.
Luck.
Good luck with
Rebecca.
That.
Now, wait a minute. Bunnies use cat boxes?
Yeah.
This is my takeaway from this question. What the? Really?
You can train bunnies.
Oh, give me a break.
They can free range around your house. And,
oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Right. They're wonderful pets.
I'm skeptical about all this. All right, let's go to line four and Jim in Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
More or less got an environmental comment. Remembering the canary in the coal mine scenario where canaries were used to detect carbon monoxide, Teflon has long been known to be toxic to birds.
Mm-hmm.
And now the chemicals in the Teflon, the PFOAs and PFOS, is starting to be suspected of cancer in humans. And one might also consider the severe toxicity that acetaminophen causes to cats.
Well, you know, the thing about cats is a little bit different because they're just basically lacking an enzyme system that we have that they just do not have in their liver that helps with the breakdown of Tylenol and acetaminophen. So, you know, as the holistic vet here, you know, the vets here, you know, we try to avoid drugs whenever possible. But to me, that's not as much of a clear comparison to the PFOAs, which are very toxic. They do not break down in the environment. They never break down, period. I do remember learning in vet school that if you had a bird in your house that you should not have Teflon, and if you do, never heat it up quickly. They can die within minutes of that happening. It's very serious. So then, of course, it makes you wonder, you know, with these low exposures to humans, what does that mean? Yeah. And for the record, I don't have any Teflon in my house.
Interesting.
I never have,
So. Well, Jim, thank you for that call. Our guest today, Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. It is, it's Pets and Vets. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York. PreserveNYS.org. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. And Edgar Bosick, certified financial planner, private financial design, South Hadley, your life, your plan, your portfolio, privatefinancialdesign.com, securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello again. It's Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets. Ray Graff here, and what fun we're having with Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli. Now, before we get back to the phones at 800-348-2551, let's take care of a few emails that came in. And this one's from Mary. My dog, Mr. Bill, has kidney problems and can't take NSAIDs. Do you know if marijuana can be used for pain control in kidney patients? That's Mary and Wendell. Okay.
That's a great idea.
That's a great call.
I do. Why not, right?
Yeah. Well, would it work?
I think it would because, again, it is supposed to have very good pain relief. So absolutely worth it. I also mentioned, and I think they're using this on the human side, is turmeric has been a good one to use. So.
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of things you can do for chronic pain that don't involve NSAIDs. I mean, you've got acupuncture, you've got herbs like Boswellia, you've got DLPA, which is a amino acid that blocks chronic pain receptors. I mean, there is so much you can do without having to go to NSAIDs. So.
Okay, this one's from Annie Q, who says, could you discuss long-term care of feline asthma. Our cat was recently diagnosed with this, is just weaning off prednisone. We discussed an inhaler for her, but it is really cost prohibitive. We're trying environmental support, i.e. dust-free litter, etc. Any suggestions? And that's from Annie Q.
Oh, great. Thanks, Annie Q. Feline asthma, very common. And prednisolone is our treatment of choice. We equate it to, on the kids' side of asthma, the same inflammation that they have. So be careful about weaning off of that prednisolone too quickly. You do not want to rebound and then have problems. It's sort of a double-edged sword right now, getting the asthma under control and keeping her on the low dose of prednisolone to keep her from not coughing at all. And then I think you're on the right track with looking at some environmental factors. The litter is a big one. I even look at what you're using in your house to clean, any detergents, sprays, candles that may be affecting her, and even food. We've had dietary allergies being affecting the asthma. I don't know if Dr. Dallas, you have
I usually do for treating asthma is I go with usually some Chinese herbs, specifically a formula called Sanrentang is very commonly used. And sometimes I'll even use some glandulars like from standard process, like a Pneumotrophen or something like that. So that's all prescription stuff, you know, from a holistic vet. But the prednisolone right now is probably, and fortunately cats tolerate prednisone a lot better than our canine patients or humans for that matter.
Okay. They do. Good points.
A couple of more emails and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Betsy. We have an elderly cat, 18 and a half, who has urinated on our bed during the night for the last two evenings. We think she's doing this in her sleep. She seems healthy, eating and drinking well. We do have an appointment for her on Friday, but could this just be a sign of old age, or may we be looking at something more serious? That's from Betsy.
You have made the right move by getting her checked. Urinary tract infections, very common in older cats, so I would not assume it's a, oh, by the way, just happened.
And a dear friend of mine just called me from the state of Washington with the same complaint in an 18-and-a-half-year-old cat, and she turned out to have fleas. And she was stressed from the fleas.
Way.
Yep. Totally. Kidneys and everything were healthy. Urinary tract infection.
Didn't want to move from the bed.
Yeah, or just the stress of the fleas freaked her out and she was urinating.
All right. Last email here and then back to the phones. This is from Anne. Hi, all. My old cat has issues, kidney, teeth, liver, and underweight. She's been seen and treated. She has good days and not good ones. My question is that I wait for signs. She's at the end, but I'm concerned it means I waited too long and maybe she's suffering. She's so special. I don't want her to suffer at all, but also don't want to be too hasty if she has good time left. Well, that's a tough question.
That is the million-dollar question that you and everyone else face with any animal, whether they're getting older or they're dealing with cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some great, actually, online resources that you can use that are great quality of life assessment tests.
Yeah.
They ask usually 10 or 15 questions, and you might want to check in with those. But I usually check to see, you know, is she still greeting you?
Right.
Is there an appetite? Are they happy to see you, still purring, you know, doing, if they're still who they are, then they, you know, they
keep her around.
Exactly.
With you.
Yep. Exactly.
Give her that love.
Back to the phones we go with Dr. Susan Sekuli and Dr. Chris Dallas, and we go to Rebecca in Kingston. Rebecca, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I have a 4-month-old puppy who doesn't seem to have the dog's natural aversion to defecating and urinating in her food or in her bed.
Splendid.
She just, if I can find her at all, I come home and she's covered in whatever.
Okay.
And I don't know what I can do. Is there any way to teach her?
Well, that's,
or will she outgrow it?
She will probably outgrow it. When I adopted a dog from a shelter, she had no sense about keeping herself clean either. Are you using a crate to train her?
Yeah, except I stopped using the crate because then when I take her out, she's just, you know, she needs a bath, and I've got a major cleanup.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
So now I confine her in the bathroom where she has a separate bed and a potty patch that she'll use the potty patch and sleep on top of it and chew it and then leave little poopy footprints all over the wall.
What kind of dog is she? I just have to ask.
She's a beagle mix.
A beagle mix?
Beagle.
Huh. 4 months old. And how long do you have to keep her alone? What's the longest, what's the longest stretch?
About 4 hours, but it's only like an hour or two.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say, maybe get a dog walker if it's been 8 hours,
oh,
but
boy.
That's a tough one. You may even want to, I don't even have anything really quick that I can give you over the radio to help you.
That's like, other than time, it hopefully will be something she outgrows.
Keep at it. Take her out. It's all about surface preference. We need to teach her surface preference. So the number of times you can get her to go on grass, and she needs to develop the preference on her feet, literally, in the next month or two. And then hopefully, all will be okay.
Okay. Well, good luck, Rebecca.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I live for those calls.
They do make those little grass pads, or like they have artificial turf with a bottom. So for the high rise apartments, and then maybe that might be
great to give her some other texture.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's tough. Such a lot of work. All right. Let's go to Carol in Greenfield Center.
That's why I stay with cats.
Yeah, exactly. Smart. Carol, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking that call.
Sure.
My question is related to feline urinary syndrome, which maybe a lot of people have issues with.
I'm sure.
I have a cat. She was a breeder at one time. She stay now. And if she is offered any kind of bedding whatsoever or let out of confinement, she will find, soft bedding. So I think it's a substrate issue. However, she does also show signs of neuroses, if you will, by chewing some of her hair out, but only periodically, not all the time. So she'll chew the hair off her paws. I do treat her with valerian root. And I've had her checked for all kinds of urinary tract infections, which she presents with none. So I'm wondering if there's anything new in the pipeline for this, awful thing that happens, and why I think a lot of cats end up in shelters. She's in a 10 by 6 by 6 foot cage with levels and things, so I'm doing the best I can for her without, the alternative, which is to, you can't have a cat urinating in your house. So,
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Well, I mean, one thing that's coming to mind, I definitely want to hear from Dr. Sekouli, our feline expert here, but I'm wondering if this rapid change in her environment from, a kennel to when you let her out, does she have full range of the house?
No. She has been tried. We have tried to let her out over the years, going on for years.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if she needs an in-between.
When she's in the kennel, though, I mean, it's a walk-in big kennel with, cat trees and such.
Oh, okay.
When she's in there, she doesn't urinate unless I put in a cat bed or a blanket or something. So I'm wondering if it's like partially substrate preference.
Yeah, it sounds like it is for her. It's become much more than it's more of a habit than anything else.
I know you're more inclined towards positive reinforcement, but is there a way to make those substrates less, like using like citrus essential oils
or something that smells not so
Nice like I'm
for
thinking
them.
Like of a citrus, like an orange essential oil or grapefruit or something that's going to really just deter her. And I mean, you'd have to really start by baiting her to one or two of these things. Because you can't bathe your whole house.
They don't like citrus oil?
They don't like citrus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
They
don't
like
lavender. That would be one.
Then if I had her in the house, I'd have to scent everything.
Yeah, right. But I'm just thinking about just training her initially, like, when you see this substrate, this unpleasant experience will happen for you.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to be horribly unpleasant.
No, not like an electric shock.
Right, or a mouse trap or something.
Right.
They don't like cat mats.
Which
is always funny because they have cat litter scented like that, and I always am amazed.
Citrus, yes.
Right.
Interesting.
What are you using for the litter? What type of litter does she
use? I use the world's best, and I have one of those really big litter boxes.
Great.
So she goes in the litter box perfectly fine.
Good. Okay.
But on any of the million occasions that she's been let out, she might be good for a day or two, and then she either urinates on a bed or a couch or whatever is soft.
Could this cat just be neurotic?
Partially, I think she is.
I think she's just established some very deep habits that are going to be very difficult for you to change. And maybe she is very comfortable where she is, and it is our feeling that, we want her out and about, but maybe she's better where she is.
Okay.
And you've provided her with love and support, and you are. You're doing a great job with
her. She has a dog next to her and another cat next to her, so she's got some interaction, but...
Yeah.
She doesn't have the run of the house, so.
Well, good luck, Carol. We appreciate
it. It's the alternative, which isn't pretty.
And maybe it is her way of saying she doesn't want the run of the house.
Right.
Who knows?
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Let's go to Martha in Gansevoort. Martha, you're on.
Hello. Yes. Last time on Pets and Vets, somebody was talking about neuropathy, and I had these two German shepherds that were sisters, and one lost the use of her back legs, and then is her front, and we had her euthanized, and then the second was beginning to do the same, and we took her to a doctor, Joel Edwards, and he gave us a combination of Amicar, which it was a drug used for humans, Azium, and vitamin E. And do you know, within a week, the German Shepherd was back climbing up the stairs, and her neuropathy never got worse. She lived 14 months more, and she was she was 10 at the time, and she died of maybe drug side effects, but she got along very nicely, and no vet except for one, a Dr. Akawi, has heard of Amicar, A-M-I-C-A-R. I think it was you. I got it from a drugstore. I was given a prescription, and since then, I don't know whether it's no longer used for people, but I guess it's harder to get. But it just was remarkable on the effect that it had on my dog.
Yeah, I don't know the drug name for Amicar. I'm wondering if it wasn't aminocaproic acid. Was it like a commercial name for aminocaproic acid? Does that sound familiar? Because that is a protocol established and written by a neurologist at the University of Florida for DM, degenerative myelopathy, which is most common in shepherds. Mm-hmm. It's basically a very, very strong antioxidant, and it's often used with other antioxidants, which vitamin E also falls in that category. You said that your dog was also on vitamin E. So, you know, that's generally a protocol that's considered useful for slowing down the progression. I have not heard of it being reversed, and it makes me wonder if it was truly DM or just, you know, we do see hindend weakness in dogs.
Well, the two were sisters born at the same time, and it started out, the second one, it started out exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just remarkable. And I thought I'd mention it because I know a lot of people must have that problem.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for the call.
Martha, thank you very much. Over to Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Yes, I have a 6-year-old male cat, and I feed him a cup of dry food a day. I used to feed him 4 cups, but I now only down to 1. When I feed him his dry food and I feed him a teaspoon of wet food at the same time in the morning, and sometimes he seems to be throwing up, and I was wondering, should I feed him his canned food in the afternoon? Because part of the problem is if that cup of chow runs out before the end of the day, he doesn't get any more, and he starts meowing.
Ah.
Welcome to our cat world. Yes, they know exactly how to tell you how they feel. You are doing the right thing by decreasing the amount of food that you're feeding him. Can I ask how much he weighs?
10 to 12 pounds.
Oh, okay. All right. I was thinking the same thing.
I thought for 16 pounds.
Cups.
Yeah. So
he was eating way too much chow. I mean,
yes.
You know, in the 4 cups would be gone in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So as you have heard us speak on this topic before, we are both very strong proponents of a canned food diet for both cats and dogs. So my suggestion is always to offer the can first when they're first hungry in the morning,
yeah.
And don't give him for another half hour. Just put that canned only down there, see how much he'll eat of it, and then decrease the amount of dry you're feeding. So go to a half a cup a day, and he will slowly get hungrier and hungrier and eventually get over to that canned food.
Mm.
So
okay.
Kudos to you. You're doing a great job with him.
Janet, thank you so much. It is Pets and Vets today. We're joined by Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli. Our number is 800-348-2551. And let's go to Greenfield Center. And Paul, you're on.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling you about my Pembroke Welsh Corgis. I have a 6-year-old Corgi. Her name is Daisy.
Aww.
And when she was first born, I had her in the palm of my hand, and we adopted her. And from that point on, the doctors in Saratoga, not you girls, they told me that she was going to have an operation on her rear legs because she has a problem with her knees, and is up to this time, now 6 years later, all we do is every once in a while we give her what they call a dog aspirin, and it kind of slows her down, and she seems to be fine. She's walking upstairs and doing, you know, doing the good things, and she gets fed once a day like we're supposed to do with corgis. And I'm just wondering if there's anything else I could do to make her life a little bit more comfortable.
Do you know for the diagnosis, was, does she have luxating patellas? Are her kneecaps move in and out of place? Or what's her diagnosis with her knees?
The diagnosis for the knees was they were out of place, and the doctor had apparently put them back, and it works. But right now, what I notice is every once in a while, she won't climb four steps. I'll have to go down and bring her up. Mm-hmm. But from that point on, she'll hop up into the house with the last step, and she's a pretty happy dog. But I'm still having issues with her. Every once in a while, she'll see a squirrel, and she goes, and then she pays for it later.
Yeah. I've had some success with one particular ligament supplement from Standard Process, but another thought that just came to mind would be you may want to consider finding a canine rehab specialist. Sometimes if they're just grade 1 to grade 2 patellar luxations, you can actually have some good success tightening up the muscles that hold the patella in place, you know, namely the quadriceps.
Right.
So that would be one thing to consider, is consulting with we have a lot of them in the area now. A lot of the clinics are starting to offer canine rehab, both at your home. You can do it. There's a couple of practitioners who do house calls, and there's a bunch of clinics who offer it right in the clinics.
Right.
So that'd be a great option for a grade 1 to 2, which it sounds like that's what she has.
The other question I have to ask you is, I know that you guys, veterinarians, have free clinics to check out animals. And well, these dogs both were on a health regimen with a pet company in Wilton. And we have found that all they kept doing was raising prices. And I decided that that wasn't the best interest for us and my family. And it seems that now their dogs are coming up for their shots, and I'm wondering where I could bring these animals to have them taken care of and not pay through the nose like I have been for them, and I know I've been taken advantage of.
Ouch. All right. All right. We have a break coming up, so if you can quickly answer this one, go ahead.
I can tell you from our standpoint that the medical care, like the human medical care, is a ever-increasing need to provide good care. Is the prices need to go up. So I know it seems like it's unreasonable, but the expenses on a veterinarian side are just out the roof, too.
Yeah, through the roof. It is. It's true.
So,
well, what a happy
feel
call
your pain.
To go to break on. Isn't that nice? Let's take a break here. Everybody take a deep breath. 800-348-2551. Pets and vets and whatever. It's coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost to help conserve water and control weeds. Compost available for purchase, ucrra.org. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying, Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. And the Lake George Association, formed in 1885 to protect Lake George water for New Yorkers. LakeGeorgeAssociation.org/join.
Welcome back to Vox Pop Pets and Vets on a Wednesday afternoon. Ray Graff here, joined today by Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli, and our number is 800-348-2551. Before we get back to the phones, here's one from Alex's aunt, all right, who says, I found a cat in bad shape last weekend and took him to the emergency animal hospital in Latham. He had severe neurological damage either due to a neurotoxin or rabies. Unfortunately, he had to be humanely euthanized. He did not bite or scratch me, but I did pet him on his cheeks, and I'm wondering if I should be concerned about contracting rabies from saliva. I did wash my hands when I got home, but keep thinking about what if I touched my eye, nose, etc. I wasn't thinking at the time because I was so upset, but now I'm feeling a bit paranoid about rabies. Any thoughts? That's from Alex's aunt. Yikes.
Oh, dear.
Well, Alex's aunt. You know, I would honestly give a call to your county public health department because we can't really vet this one thoroughly over, especially without talking to you. So I would actually call county public health today, maybe or tomorrow, and get their take on it because they have an entire history form that they can get from you, take from you, and really figure out if you have to be concerned about exposure.
Wouldn't it be standard practice if there was a question about rabies and they had to euthanize the animal to do a check?
Yes. Usually that is.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah. So whether, and that would be the question back, is whether at the emergency clinic did they then test the cat after deceased for rabies?
And so maybe a call to the emergency animal hospital. All right. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. And Mary in Slingerlands. Mary, you're on.
Hi. Lucky for me that the cat veterinarians are on the call today.
I see.
Two housebound cats. I feed them twice a day. I'm very concerned about their overweight, and of course, talked with my vet, and they've told me a half can of wet in the evening and a quarter can. And a tablespoon of dry in the morning. If I were to leave food out, they would just gobble it all down. Now they have started waking me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I have a small home and I can't keep them anyplace else.
They're training you.
Yeah, I'm just having a terrible time not getting a lot of sleep. This morning, I got up and fed them, and then at 8 o'clock, they started scratching at the door again.
Yes.
Any suggestions?
That's it.
Yeah.
You gave us the clue right there.
Yeah. How about some hemp?
They woke there. You
No, that makes it worse.
That's right.
That makes it increase little the kitty, appetite.
Little kitty ho-hos and ring-dings. Right, I get you.
Oh, wait a second. I did not feed them. I did not feed them. I finally got up. No, I did not feed them.
Oh, okay,
good.
No, I've known not to do that.
What I've done.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is when I was in vet school, I had six cats, and so I had to really keep this under
you
wraps.
You admit that.
Oh, yeah, I did. It was not my doing. It was actually my partner who was the crazy cat lady, so to speak. But I basically was very strict about making sure my cats did not get fed until after I got out of the shower. So they started milling around outside the bathroom door as I went into the shower, and that whole frenetic energy around feeding didn't start until then. So I would say just find a time like that where there's a specific event they can count on that you do every day, whether it's making coffee or even like going for a walk first and then coming back, but something where you've been up for a little while and they can count on that event as the pre-feeding excitement, as opposed to you snoring and like they're probably detecting your where you are in your sleep cycle.
Right.
And,
absolutely,
yeah,
Chris. That's exactly it.
Yep. That's interesting because I feel it's when the sun comes up
Close the shades.
Okay, well, I'm keeping at it. I thought maybe to wait until 11 o'clock at night for the second feeding. But then in the morning, they got up even earlier.
And I also tell you to try to stay away from the dry more and more and more. If it's all canned, the carbohydrates still are keeping them in that carbo fix that they need more of. So try to get them on total canned food.
All right. Mary, thank you so
Good
much
luck.
For the call. It's 800-348-2551 on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Another Rebecca. We've had three Rebeccas on the show. Here's Rebecca 3 from Saratoga Springs. You're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
I'm calling because I have three dogs, and two of them are 12 and a half.
Wow.
They're Toppet Labs.
Oh, wonderful.
And yeah, they're doing great. My female has arthritis in her front legs. And she's starting to have some weakness in her back legs. Mm-hmm. She takes 2 Glycoflex a day and 2 fish oils every day. And I have Duramax, I think that's what it's called, if needed. I'm just curious if you have any other ideas of things I could do to help her be more comfortable. She still goes on walks begrudgingly. She hates them. But she likes to swim, and she will chase things if they're there. So
yeah,
her spirits are high.
Yeah, no, everything you're doing sounds great. I use acupuncture a lot for hind end weakness in dogs. And for some dogs, it really does turn the clock back a couple of years. But another thing that I've been noticing that's working really well for a lot of my older patients is water treadmill activity. So there are several clinics in the area that have water treadmills, and you know, you could hook up with them and just some regular exercise. I mean, right now you can just have her swimming, which is fantastic. But when in about a month or so, it's going to be a little too cold for you guys to go out and do that. And I just feel like the water treadmills do a great job of maintaining muscle mass and just keeping their chi flowing.
I'm going to plug in a little bit on my end of some of the, again, an alternative and a natural is the essential oil. Wintergreen is methyl salicylate, which is an aspirin component, and you can apply it directly to those joints. You dilute it out, but there's some wonderful essential oils that are out there that are great for pets. Copaiba, a couple of others. So explore that a little bit more.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
And how much does an acupuncture session run generally?
We generally don't do prices on the program, but you could just do kind of a ballpark if you want.
Yeah, I mean, usually initial consults are, a while because it's a 2-hour consult and the rechecks are an hour. So figure somewhere in the $100 range or so.
All right, Ann, thanks a lot for that. Sorry, Rebecca. Let's go to Ann now. And Ann is in Altamont. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have and I know this is a little off topic, about a month ago I found a kitten. We live on a farm, and I'm getting desperate to find her a home. She was very sick when I found her. I took her to the village vet in Voorheesville, and they treated her for a URI and tested her for both feline viruses, and she was clear on them. She's over her upper respiratory infection, and I am desperate to find her a home. I already have 5 cats. My husband has told me if I want to keep her as a barn cat, I could, but she's very sweet. She deserves a lap, and I'm wondering if you can give me any suggestions on
have you checked with some of the rescue groups around
the area? I've called a lot of the rescues, and most of them have recordings that are saying they're not taking any kittens right now.
Yeah, because they're so overwhelmed with them also.
So what does somebody do in that situation?
You put it up. You know what? We do a Facebook and try to find a home that way. Spread it out.
I think I sent your pet. Your practice a picture. I haven't checked today, but I didn't see it up there.
Okay, keep asking because I know Tessa, one of our employees, does a great job with that.
That's on your Facebook feed?
Have.
And
yeah.
What is that feed? You don't remember. Well, I'm always asking those key questions. All right, Ann, thanks a lot.
Tessa will know that one for
me. We'll put a link on our webpage
we'll all
know.
Right.
All right, let's go to Aldo and Poughkeepsie. Aldo, you're on.
Good afternoon. I have a kind of weird problem here with my female cat.
All right.
This God bless the cat eats her own fur. She's been doing it for the past 8 months now. Nothing has happened. And it's only my wife and I live in the house, and the cat is always by herself. So, of course, we took her to the doctor, and first he suggested to give her a shot of prednisone, which it worked for about 2 weeks, but then she started again. Then he suggested to go with some dry food that they would have just in case she had allergy. By the way, he checked her for any skin problem, and there's nothing. The cat is clean. She's not in contact with any other animal. Anyway, we tried the dry food from the place itself, from the doctor itself, but that didn't work because it was over 2 months before she finished it. Then we went strictly on canned food. That didn't work. And then he gave her another shot of prednisone, and he said, I don't want to keep doing it. Again, that stopped it for 2 more weeks, and then now she's back at it again. He gave me some kind of mind-altering medicine for the poor cat, but I didn't like that.
It's not hemp, right?
She withdrew herself. I don't know what to do. She still eating herself. She's a black cat, and all bottom of her belly, whatever she can reach, and there's no fur on it. She doesn't eat herself. She just pulls the skin.
Okay, we get the picture. You know? So what do you think, Docs? Boy, that's a long. All right, let's start
that
again.
That sounds like we might need a little bit more than a.
No, could
phone
could this
call
be allergies?
Okay, I would tell you right away to. I know they didn't find any fleas on this cat, but I would treat for fleas.
Mm-hmm.
It would be if you go to any dermatologist, any veterinary dermatologist, they will say, "Are they on a flea product for 3 months? And if they're not, then don't come until they are on a flea product for 3 months."
But I mean, aren't allergies possibly like food, even a food allergy sometimes a problem?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you don't even go down the food road really until you've eliminated the fleas because it's so easy.
All right,
Revolution is awesome.
All right, Aldo, thank you for that, and. Over to Russell in Clifton Park. Russell, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
We have a 6-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog. Quite literally overnight, she started limping, showing her right front paw being a little weak. We thought that she had jumped off our back porch after a squirrel or something and might have wounded herself, but it was 2 days off of vacation. So we took her to a boarding facility and said, you know, just monitor her. And when we came back a week later, she was no longer walking.
Yeah.
Brought her to the emergency vet that night. They thought, though she had no signs of and took a blood sample, found no show of Lyme, treated her for Lyme disease. Okay. Within a few days, it had gotten worse. Her joints, just above her joints, had all severely swollen up. Took her to our local vet at that point because it was not a Sunday, and after examination felt it was a he diagnosed it as immune mediated polyarthritis.
Okay,
gave us prednisone, and almost overnight, I mean within a day, she was back up and walking. Though difficultly, it was an amazing overnight change.
Okay.
The curiosity here is okay. The prednisone's bringing down the swelling. It's even much better now. It's a week later.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very strange to me that arthritis would show up literally overnight.
Well, the immune system
is the
immune system is very powerful, and it can be frightening what happens when it goes out of control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With autoimmune conditions, you can go from normal to being in either severe pain, depending on what it's attacked. But, you know, certainly we've seen it in dogs where it just wipes out their red blood cells in, 48 hours.
And they're anemic.
And then they go from normal to having a red cell count that's barely compatible with life very quickly. So, it absolutely can happen. I'm actually surprised that she was negative on her tick-borne illnesses. I'm not totally convinced that I hope that the treatment with doxycycline is going to be completed because that can actually set off these autoimmune conditions. And we have a lot more tick-borne illnesses in this area than we're testing for regularly. So I would certainly finish up the doxycycline while you're doing the prednisone.
Okay, Russell, thank you for that. All right, sometimes in radio you have to do just repulsive things. I'm going to read this email to you. This is from Bonnie.
Taking it for the team.
We've two indoor cats, one of whom, we don't know which, left a long butt trail from the litter box punctuated by a dryish poop. Then the trail continued many more feet. They are fed a half a small can each in the morning, a tablespoon each of dry food. This is repeated in the afternoon or evening, plus kitty treat nibbles on demand. They're both altered. Boy is 6, girl is 10, plus or minus. What should be added to their diet to prevent future snail trails? And again, I thank you for making me do that.
She couldn't call in on that
for
one.
For peace sake. All right, answer the question.
Pumpkin, what do you like to use for...
Yeah,
so
I guess it's deciding whether it was diarrhea
or constipation
that caused, it sounds like, anal glands that they were scooting along trying to express.
Terrific.
And so,
thank you.
The potty talk.
So, yes, and it is trying to figure that out in which ones and monitoring the bowel movements on a daily basis. But both of those, either too soft a stool or too hard a stool, can cause anal gland issues and problems.
Okay.
And I like green beans, actually.
Okay. I like pumpkin just because it's good for diarrhea. It's good for constipation. It's good for what ails you.
Hemp?
Hemp, anybody? Yeah.
Anybody? All right, quickly, Marjorie, you only got about 30 seconds here. Marjorie and Amherst. Let's hit the button, Ray, you big dope.
Male cat. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. You only have about 30 seconds.
Okay, I've got one male cat who's eating all the female cats. I've got three cats together. The two females are really skinny. The male cat's eating all their food. What about if I make a box that's only big enough for the two females to get through the hole,
perfect,
put their food in there?
You are awesome.
Is that a good idea?
Absolutely.
It's already been, that idea, believe it or not, has been marketed already.
Yes.
A technician at the Ohio State University invented it.
You should have done it.
Genius.
Yes, I know. Yes, it works. But
all
also,
right,
leaving
well
food
said
out is a problem. So that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you know.
I pick it up, but then I go to work, you know, and I can't. They got to eat at some point, the little ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So thanks. That's a great idea. I think I'll try it.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good.
Well, great Excellent. Job, Marjorie. We'll end there. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Well, all right.
A lot of potty talk today.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
We have to give up the hemp now?
The hemp?
No.
Let's get that out of here before the cops come. We're just about out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in. Sorry if you didn't make it through. Thanks again to Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas for joining us. Support comes from Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com. Mango Tree Imports, a global fair trade shop in downtown Saratoga Springs, New York, featuring artisan goods from more than 60 countries. MangoTreeImports.com and Facebook. Agricultural Stewardship Association, presenting their 15th annual Landscapes for Land's Sake art exhibit October 8th through 10th in Washington County. Opening reception October 8th, noon to 5 p.m. to benefit local farmland protection. agstewardship.org. And Chester Wood presents The Nature of Glass, an outdoor contemporary sculpture exhibition curated by Jim Shantz, featuring artists incorporating glass in their sculptural work. Chesterwood.org for details. Thanks again to Dr. Ciculli and Dr. Dallas. Thanks to you for listening and for calling. Thanks to Jordan Marsh, our engineer. No, Jordan Taylor, right? Right? Bruce Herbach answered the calls. Jess Marshall, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Berman is back. Astronomy, don't you know? News is next.